Welcome to Ragged Glory, a Neil Young adventure, where you join me, Rob Jones, on a trip through the back catalogue of one of the world's most prolific artists and songwriters, Neil Young. And there's no better place to start than at the beginning. Sort of. 1968 was a year of turbulence around the world. The Vietnam War was a central issue, igniting protests and anti-war movements across the states. In Europe, student protests erupted in major cities, and in Czechoslovakia, the Prague Spring sought to liberalise the country's communist regime before the Soviet Union intervened with military force, crushing the reforms and tightening control over Eastern Europe. Back in the United States, the civil rights movement fought tirelessly for equality, yet suffered a staggering blow with the assassination of its most prominent leader, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Later in the same year, presidential hopeful Robert F. Kennedy would also be assassinated. The youthful rebellion against authority and societal norms manifested in various forms, including music, art, and fashion. It was a time of counterculture revolution, where the voices of dissent reverberated across the globe. In the late 1960s, Neil Young was a vital member of the influential folk rock band Buffalo Springfield. However, tensions within the group were escalating, exacerbated by creative differences and clashing personality. Despite their critical acclaim and commercial success, Buffalo Springfield ultimately disbanded in 1968, leaving Young at a crossroads in his career. In the wake of Buffalo Springfield's breakup, Neil Young seized the opportunity to embark on a solo venture. His self-titled debut solo album, originally released on the 12th of November 1968, marked a new chapter in his musical journey, showcasing Young's distinctive voice and songwriting, setting the stage for his prolific solo career. So this record is a new one for me. It's funny, really, and I guess it's a sign of both my age and where I came into Neil's music in the 90s, and that I've never really gone back to his first proper solo record. I haven't really dived into the Buffalo Springfield stuff either, just like a few playlists. So it was really cool to go back to the beginning and see if I can hear the same things that turned me onto his work in the 90s to this record back in, from 1968. I did find this review from Rolling Stone, but I won't read the whole thing. I'll just read an excerpt of a review from Gary Von Tersch from the 5th of April 1969. This album by Neil Young is a flowing tributary from the overall Springfield river of twangs, breathless vocals, and slim yet stout instrumentation. Especially vivid is Young's sense of melancholy and the ingenious clusters of images he employs in his lyrics. In particular, one could easily view this disc as an extension of Young's work on the Buffalo Springfield Again album. So if we go through it track by track quickly. So the first track is The Emperor of Wyoming. It's an instrumental opener. It feels really folksy and like something you might hear at a country fair. It definitely has a kind of down on the farm feel to it, and it could probably fit nicely on Story Tone, one of his, I say later albums, I think it was about 2010, maybe before that, but anyway, it would fit quite nicely on Story Tone, and we'll get to that one at some point in the future. The Loner, track two, is a bit of a stomp along, and it really feels like a Neil Young that we've come to love type track. The guitar tones are really cool, really wicked, the rhythm guitar chugs along. There's some lead bits in there that have got this like high-pitched buzzsaw quality that I really dig. And then there's a few quieter bridges that kind of go back to that folksy feel that was on the first track. That's followed by If I Could Have Her Tonight. This one has a real Laurel Canyon vibe, which I suppose is right given the time and the place. And it's also one that would fit easily onto a Buffalo Springfield record. It's probably more of a... It's more like where he's been than where he's heading. I've Been Waiting For You feels like a demo for Cinnamon Girl, which will come on the next record, but it's proper Uncle Neil, really, and surprisingly tight, about 2.5 minutes long. But the main riff and the guitar solo are proper Crazy Horse vibes, and yeah, you've got to love that. The Old Laughing Lady. Now, it takes a bit of a darker shift on this, and it's fairly sedate, and Neil's voice is definitely the highlight of the song, really. The instruments are quite sparse, but at the same time there's quite a lot going on. There's odd little piano bits. The strings come in. There's a flute. When the flute comes in, it's really beautiful. And then in the second half of the track, the choir kicks in and it takes it to a new height. But it's a really, really good song, and it takes you on a bit of a trip, which is maybe the point. After that, we go on to String Quartet from Whiskey Boot Hill, which is this really somber instrumental interlude, and it feels like it might have been played over a flashback in an old Western, or like in Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, you get that montage of all the photos in sepia when they're traveling to Bolivia. I think this track would fit nicely over that little montage. Here We Are in Years is another nostalgic feeling one. It's got a wicked sounding piano on it, and it could sit nicely alongside something like Our House, you know, the Crosby, Stills and Nash and Young song. Whether it came out of a session from then or whether Neil had it kicking around at the time, I don't know, but that's kind of, it feels like a cousin of sorts. What Did You Do to My Life? I really like this track. It is a bit of a mess, and at one point it's on that kind of Laurel Canyon sound, and then on the next it's stomping along and that high-pitched buzzsaw guitar is cutting through again. But all the way through, his voice is delicate and beautiful. And again, maybe it feels like a demo for something that we'll hear on a later album. Not a specific song, but it just feels like maybe something off of early 90s Neil Young records. Maybe something off of Broken Arrow. Maybe something like that. I don't know. I Have Loved Her So Long is proper melancholic Neil, and it's really chilled. But the female vocalists that come in, they really lift it to another level, and it's just another cool track. And then closing the album, we have The Last Trip to Tulsa, which is a sprawling 9-minute Neil Young special that could fit on any of his future work. Just Neil and a guitar and a bunch of stories that may or may not fit together. So I'm going to go through and give some scores out of 5 for various categories as we go through the catalogue, so we can rank all the records in an easy way that doesn't really matter to anyone, but it's a format gimmick. So the best songs on the album, right, the best track on the album by a long way is The Loner. And if I was choosing a track for a best of playlist, which might be an idea, actually, should I do that? How about like an evolving playlist of maybe 25 tracks? So each time I do an album, I'll add a couple of tracks to it. And then at some point, we'll obviously have to ditch some, you know. So it might be that if we're adding, I don't know, if we're adding Powderfinger, do we have to take off Man Needs a Maid? I don't know. Maybe we'll do that. It sounds like a good idea to do that anyway. It's a gimmick. So definitely The Loner is the best song on this album. If I can choose more than one, then maybe What Did You Do With My Life? And if I'm given a score out of 5 for the best song on this album, then I would give The Loner 3.5 out of 5, I reckon. So the next category we're going to entertain is replayability. Now, despite coming to this completely new, I have listened to it 4 or 5 times over the last week or so, and I've not been bored. It's quite easy on the ear, and at 36 minutes, it's not a big commitment, and by Neil Young standards, it's fairly reined in. So based on that, and the likelihood of me going back to it now I don't need to do it for a show again, I'm going to give it 3 for replayability. I know we haven't got there yet, but there are a lot of Neil Young records that I'd put on before I put this one on again. But this one's definitely going to stay in the rotation. So 3 out of 5, I think, is a good sort of middle ground. It's almost bang on the middle ground. The next category is originality and impact. So on this record, you can clearly hear where Neil Young has been. And you can see kind of where he's heading. But it's not like most debut albums where the artist is a complete unknown and like, bam, here's my first record. It owes a lot to his time in Buffalo Springfield, and it kind of feels like a stepping stone to what's to come. Part of it feels like a lot of other stuff coming out of California at the end of the 60s, and the bits that are stretching aren't quite stretching enough. That would definitely come, but it's not on this record. So 2 out of 5 for originality and impact. Consistency and quality. Wow. Like, it's definitely consistent with the stuff he was doing before, I've said that. And across the album is pretty consistent. The best songs aren't miles above the pack, and there isn't anything on there that doesn't fit or bring it down. There's nothing out and out that you go, oh yeah, I'm going to skip that because it's terrible. Even the instrumental pieces are a nice change of pace, but I do feel drawn more to the songs that hint towards that for the Crazy Horse sound, I suppose. So let's sit firmly on the fence and give that a 2.5 out of 5. So on the internet, I'm sure you're aware, there is rateyourmusic.com where people can go on, pick an album, give a rating and a review of any album they want. And that's going to be a pretty good resource for this, at least to compare my thoughts to others. So rateyourmusic.com gives this record a fairly decent average of 3.38 from 4,400 ratings. And this is a review from someone called Peaks, who wrote the following in 2020. Better things to come. Solid debut album, but not close to his best work, which was just around the corner. Still finding his feet. Vocally, he sings more like a whisper than a whine, which he developed. Some of the songs are great. Loner, Waiting for You, Old Laughing Lady, but better versions found elsewhere. Everything after Old Laughing Lady is a bit naff, but Tulsa is fun. The overall sound and production is lacking, and the acoustic live recordings from this era are much better and atmospheric. So, overall, it's an okay debut album for Neil Young. I'm glad I've gone back to it for this show. It's a great stepping stone from the Buffalo Springfield stuff into what will become his classic phase, where he rips off maybe 6 or 7 great albums and writes himself into the books as a truly great songwriter and artist. But we're not quite there yet. It's got a real Laurel Canyon vibe, punctuated with some stomp-alongs and cool guitars, but some of the more chilled moments are worth investigating as well. The best tracks would be The Loner, What Did You Do With Your Life, and The Old Laughing Lady. And we are going to give Neil Young's eponymous debut album from 1968 2.88 out of 5. So we can follow that along and track to see where it ends up as we go through the rest of the catalogue. Let me know your thoughts on this album, and if you have any opinions you want to share about some of the albums coming up, you can email me at recordsandbands@gmail.com. Next time, we're looking at 1969's Everybody Knows This Is Nowhere and the grand entrance of Crazy Horse. Thanks for listening. I've been Rob Jones, and this has been Ragged Glory, a Neil Young adventure. Ragged Glory was written and produced by Rob Jones and is a Records and Bands podcast.